A resurgence or a second wave of COVID-19 infections has been widely predicted by South Africa's scientific and medical communities. But understanding what a resurgence means for South Africa is another story. Multimedia Live spoke to Professor of Vaccinology, Shabir Mardi, about what a COVID-19 resurgence means and what it may entail for South Africa.
So what the second wave of infections means, and another way to refer to it is a resurgence of COVID-19, is when the daily, the seven-day rolling average of the number of newly diagnosed cases starts to increase.
Professor Mardi explained that at the moment, South Africa's seven-day rolling average of new documented cases sits at around 1,300 infections, but he adds that these numbers are heavily dependent on the number of tests conducted, which has dropped significantly since the peak of the country's initial outbreak. As a result, numbers of new infections are not a reliable method of testing for a resurgence.
So one of the ways to address that is to look at other parameters which could assist us in terms of deciding whether a resurgence is occurring and that are less sensitive to testing rates. And what I'm referring to right now are being able to track what's happening in relation to COVID-19 hospitalizations, as well as excess mortality that might be occurring. So as an example, what the South African Medical Research Council reported late last week is that in the Western Cape, there seems to be again an uptick in terms of the excess mortality that's been documented, compared to when it had leveled down after the first wave. And that would be an indication that there's, again, community transmission that's occurring at a higher level than we would actually desire, and which perhaps suggests that the resurgence, to some extent, might already be occurring in some settings.
So given the figures we have, South Africa may currently be wading into its second wave. But despite the fact that South Africa's COVID-19 death rate is ranked as the 13th highest in the world, Professor Mardi stipulates that once this number is contextualized, the country's death rate is actually rather encouraging.
So yes, we had a high mortality rate. But at the same time, that mortality rate needs to be interpreted in the context of what proportion of the population were likely infected with the virus. Now, in Europe, as an example, in Spain, which is a country that reports the highest mortality rate globally of about 130 per 100,000, despite that high mortality rate, only about 10% of the population in Spain, the adult population in Spain, were infected with the virus. All indications are that the proportion of the population that have been infected in South Africa who live in a major urban metro areas is probably in the region of 35 to 40%. Rather than 10%, which was recorded in Spain. So what that tells us is that, yes, we have experienced a high mortality rate from COVID-19, but what is otherwise referred to as an infection mortality rate was actually lower in South Africa than it was in Europe. In South Africa, the infection mortality rate, which now uses what is likely the denominator of people that were infected with the virus, is around about 0.08 compared to about 0.3%. in many of the European countries. So why is that important? It tells us that when people get infected with a virus in South Africa, for some reason, the virus seems to be causing less severe disease, and proportionally, a lower proportion of people are ending up dying with COVID-19 after being infected compared to the European experience, and especially compared to countries such as Spain and Italy. The approach that is currently being used in Europe, where they're again going into an additional hard lockdowns and they implementing curfews to try to control the rate of infection of the virus, those sort of strategies are not necessarily applicable to the South African context, where a high percentage of the population have already been infected, and where we've seen that the infection mortality rate in fact is lower than what was observed in South Africa. So in my mind, there's very little to be gained by going into higher levels of restriction, and certainly almost no merit in terms of going to a level 4, level 5 lockdown in South Africa, especially considering the collateral damage that it has inflicted in terms of the livelihoods of people, as well as in terms of the economy and healthcare services, in fact. So that is not the strategy that we need to embark on to try to mitigate the risk of a resurgence. That the resurgence is going to occur is almost a foregone conclusion, It's all about how we actually control the rate of that resurgence so that we don't have overwhelming of our healthcare facilities.
While he is adamant that the implementation of another hard lockdown would not aid in dealing with a resurgence in South Africa, he also cautions that complacency will be the cause of the second wave and strict adherence to safety protocols will be our only real defense.
So it's really the only tools that we've got available to us to delay a resurgence are these non-pharmaceutical interventions. And when there is a resurgence, what it would require for people to do is, again, to become much more adherent to the use and of these non-pharmaceutical interventions. Beyond that, there really isn't much that we've got within our grasp to be able to control the rate of transmission of the virus, while at the same time ensure that the collateral damage that's inflicted in relation to our response to COVID-19 doesn't exceed the benefits of actually implementing such sort of interventions. And what we need to avoid is a knee-jerk reaction when a resurgence does occur and try to follow what has been implemented in Europe with a mistaken belief that it is what is required in South Africa and what will make a difference in South Africa, because that's not the case. We need to have a strategy which speaks to our reality, which speaks to our first, our experience with the first wave of outbreak, and contextualizes it in that roughly one third of the adult population in highly densely populated areas, if not more, were infected the first time round already. So that gives us some competitive edge in terms of what would happen if there is a resurgence.
For Multimedia Live, I am Paige Muller.